Welcome to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb. We are holding down the fort today.
Well, computer issues and, you know, one thing after another, but we're here finally.
I mean, we got one guy who's sitting down sending us beach pictures.
That started my day off on the wrong foot.
That's getting a little old, you know, sending the beach pictures, Arnold. I mean, you know, you send a cloudy day and then a sunshiny day. I think, you know, I hoped it rained the whole week, and then evidently that hadn't worked. So,
you're not good at making predictions, but somebody on the show is good at making predictions.
Did you pick the 20 car to win last week?
I picked the 20 car.
Wow, 2 weeks, and you know he's hit it.
I told you I was going to ride him till he won. It didn't take long.
And that you did, which was kind of surprising. I mean, you didn't think Dover would be the place that he would. He would pull that out.
Well, I guess it helped when you had, you know, 15 of the fastest cars wreck in front of you.
Did you talk about the big one? Are you talking about the big one?
The big one.
We weren't at Talladega, were we?
No, we weren't at Talladega.
No, we weren't.
But there was some massive carnage.
There was definitely carnage. And one person, I really felt bad. And, you know, who cares about a show schedule anyway when you only got two people, right?
Right.
So,
it's just me and you talking today, buddy.
I know. I really felt bad about Dale Earnhardt Jr. Did you see he got all the way around it, and then was going high into the corner, and then somebody comes up from the bottom. Now, get this. I say somebody comes up from the bottom at Dover, where everybody goes from the top to the bottom when they wreck. Somebody comes up from the bottom and just rips him right in the side and takes him out. I mean, he goes from probably
that would be the Geico car of Casey Mears.
Right. Yeah. They still. I mean, that's my insurance company, so I expected better than that. But you know, the thing is you think about it and you think I'm in the clear. There's only going to be, you know, 10 cars probably on the lead lap. I get a top 10 finish, and then boom, here comes Casey Mears flying up there with Booty Barker as his crew chief, and you got to love that name, Booty Barker.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so, you know, we had a guy that has struggled all year. We have documented his struggles a lot this year as far as, you know, just bad luck. Not really anything that he's done to himself or anything like that, but Matt Kenseth comes in and gets a win and had to work for it. I mean, he had the young, you know, not rookie, but the young phenom in Kyle Larson driving the 42 target car that was really
find a way to get around him, and there was two or three times where I thought he absolutely was going to, but he just couldn't find that right grip, you know, or maybe it's pushed his car a little too hard, but a great job by Kyle Larson, but Kenseth did what he had to do, you know, and a guy that has had terrible luck, as you said, and has been searching for a way to find a way to win a race. And to win that race when he's had much better cars at different tracks throughout the year, and he found a way to win Sunday. It was a weird Dover race, don't you think?
Definitely weirder than what you're used to when you see Dover and stuff. But I think getting back to Larson is that, you know, Chase Elliott come up there, raced him hard, passed him at one point, and then he had to get back by Chase. I almost think that if that didn't happen, he could have got to Kenseth and been able to
yeah, really there was a couple times where he absolutely was in position to win, or at least, you know, he had an opportunity to get around Kenseth, but he, you know, Chase was on him so hard. I mean, and I was very impressed with both those two young drivers, you know, Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott. I mean, they were pushing each other. Maybe didn't have the best cars, but when an opportunity to go for a win, they went for it. And it was good, hard, clean racing. You know, they were, you know, the best cars on the track weren't there, but, you know, that's not their fault. They had an opportunity. They did everything they could to take advantage of it. You know, my question is, when is Kyle Larson going to find a way to win a race? Because this guy has had some opportunities over the course of the last couple of years, and it's just they haven't found a way quite yet to get it done. But, it was an impressive run this week, impressive opportunity for Chase Elliott. But in the end, the veteran, the guy whose luck has been absolutely awful this year, just found a way to win a race and lock himself in. And watch out, that team could get hot and win, you know, two of the next three races.
Well, that's one of the things that we had talked about last week, I think, is when we were talking about Matt Kenseth, the fact that, you know, it seemed like it was last year, the year before last, that we had 6-7 wins or whatever during the season. And you knew he had fast cars. You saw the fact that he was always up in the top 10 when bad luck seemed to strike. And he's these tracks coming up in the summer are tracks that he runs well at, and tracks that Toyota runs well at. My point last week, my point this week. So you know,
what,
I think that's,
what track doesn't Toyota's run well at?
No kidding. So, but I think, you know, he has the opportunity now to really, you know, set himself up good for the chase, especially with an off week with momentum going into the All-Star race, and then going in the Coca-Cola 600 where he runs really well. All right, you mentioned, well, let me bring up this one point with Kyle Larson. I hate keep going back to him, but him and Carl Edwards, they got into each other. Carl hit the wall extremely hard.
Yeah,
and if they hadn't had safer barriers up there, it would have probably been worse. But, you know, it looked like to me it was more of Carl coming down on him, maybe as a reaction to Kurt Busch almost getting into the wall. Because if you look at the replay, Larson's awful low on the track to be, you know, hitting somebody. Do you think that might have played a little bit into his thought process or in his psyche when he's coming up on Kenseth, gets up beside him? If that didn't happen, and maybe he'd been in the Sprint Cup Series for 10 years, he might have put him in that.
Right.
I
think if he's, you know, if he's a multi-time winner and you know, you maybe can be a touch more aggressive there. I think he has, you know, the personality that he wants to be a clean racer. And, you know, and if you listen to the they played the in-car audio from Carl Edwards, at first he was just irate. And then when they talked to him, you know, after he got out of the care center and he looked at the replay, you know, he realized he was as much at fault, if not more at fault, because of the way, you know, Busch wiggled at the top. You know, he tried to make sure he kind of got out of his way and came down, and the car got sideways, and he just, you know, there was nothing Larson could do. He just clipped the rear and just spun him around. He did hit a ton. But, you know, Larson had the opportunity, you know, that's he had an opportunity, a couple points, where if he wanted to move Kenseth out of the way, he probably could have. And I think with it for his first win, that's in September and you're trying to get your spot into the chase, maybe you're a little more aggressive there. And maybe in September he'll come back and regret not being a little more aggressive there. But, you know, he wanted to race him clean. Matt thanked him for racing him clean. Larson talked about racing him clean, said that that's what he wanted to do. When, you know, it's a tough dynamic. You know, you really want to win, and this guy's got a lot of talent, and, you know, maybe when he finally breaks through in the win column, you know, he's going to rattle off some wins. But, you know, it's tough, though. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy that has to spin people out to win races. You want to be able to get by people clean, and he just couldn't find a way. And that's, you know, not only is that a testament to, you know, his driving ability, it's a testament to Matt Kenseth and his ability to hold him at bay. When, you know, Kenseth talked about, and he's going to talk about in our interview we have with him here in just a couple minutes, about his race car, and he was really struggling with some handling there towards the end of the race, but he found a way to keep Larson behind him and get a win.
And it was on older tires too, and that seems to be the kicker the last 2 weeks, is that the winners have been on older tires than the people behind them. And I think you're exactly right about Larson. I mean, the guy's going to get a win. I mean, he's kind of, you know, no holds barred when it comes to driving. He's all over the place, doesn't care to rim ride and do what he has to do. But when you're in his position in this time in his career, you've got to race people clean in order to get it. And I think that's the thing. And who wants to win, you know, pushing somebody out of the way unless you're Carl Edwards?
No, that was a teammate. You know, there's going to be a point in time where, you know, we start heading down that stretch. You get to Richmond, and you know you can't get in on points, and you have to have a win, or we get to these cutoff races inside the chase. You know, maybe that bumper can be a little wider and can be used a little more aggressively. But I think a guy trying to win his first race, and, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, there's a lot of, you don't want to give people the wrong impression of you as a race car driver. You know, he's not the kind of guy that is race dirty. We've seen his talent. You know, I still, to this day, the restart he had at California, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, I still remember, I can just close my eyes and see it, where he passed like 6 cars in one turn. So the guy has a tremendous amount of talent, Larson does. But he's got to find a way to hone that, get a little better race car and get some wins. And you know, he's got a lot of talent and going to be around for a long time.
Don't you know that if he would have wrecked Kenseth with the year that Kenseth had, and he's already,
I mean,
tried,
didn't
to get
you almost
Joey Logano,
expect him to wreck Kenseth, though, because of the year Kenseth has had? You know, this is a team that could have 2-3 wins already. They could be up there, you know, with Kyle Busch, their race car has been just as fast, and they've been up near the front just as much. They just have stuff happen to them. And to have, you know, a massive wreck at Dover, the second largest wreck, I think they've had two 18-car pileups, and this one was a 17-car pileup at that track is just stunning, and it took that for those cars to win. But you know, that's why you run all 400 laps. You know, you never know what's going to happen. The best, ask Martin Truex. The last couple of weeks, he may have had the best car.
Yeah, he's the new Matt Kenseth now.
Yeah, he may have the best car. We had this stretch last year around this time where he had tremendous race cars, but he was really struggling to find a way to finish races.
That's it. Well, we're going to hear from Matt Kenseth right now, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the 18-car pileup that happened at Dover. So here's Matt Kenseth on his first win of the year, and now Chase Band.
After everything you've been through this season, how good does it feel to be in victory lane today?
It feels good. We needed this one for sure. So, great race team, obviously great organization. Joe Gibbs Racing, everybody at TRD and Toyota's done a great job with these engines and cars and the designs we have. So, I always say I'm a lucky guy to be driving these things. So, thanks to Dollar General, DeWalt, great sponsors, Toyota, TRD, Gatorade, Citizen, Wiley X, Cessna, Interstate Batteries. We've got great partners over there. We can't do it without them. We were tight all night on restarts, and then five laps of that last run, we got so loose, I thought Kyle was going to get right by me. So just buried the track bar and kept digging the best I could and tried to hold him off.
How did you?
And now as far as it went, it was that's how much lower it was than it was all day, but it just went loose that run. I was obviously being aggressive to try to get off the corners, but I thought the first half of the race were pretty good. I thought we lost the handle a little bit the second half. Obviously got fortunate, and, you know, some of the good cars got in accidents, but Kyle gave me all I wanted and then some.
All right, well, he only mentioned eight sponsors, so I think Carl Edwards still has the record of 10, and Matt was not too
far
behind
him. Could tell that there's a Carl Edwards influence that's happening over him. He never used to be that bad, but he just rattled him off like him, maybe him and Edwards just sit in front of the mirror and just practice, you know, the Dollar General, DeWalt.
I think what happened maybe was when Carl
DDR.
Walked into the shop at Gibbs, you know, Racing. He's like, all right, boys, it's marketing class time. Let's let's get together and do this.
This is how sponsors love you.
Yeah, the teacher is in the building. So great win for Matt. Really, you really feel good for a guy that's a veteran, had been struggling and stuff like that, to be able to get it done. All right, let's talk about this 18-car crash. You know, last year in the
have you ever seen anything like it?
Not
at a track of that size.
Well, now, I'd say about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a pileup on the back stretch. I think Elliot Sadler at the point in time had spun out, and it kind of blocked it. And at Dover, it's kind of a weird scenario because if you hit the wall, most of the time you come down, you collect somebody and you pile everybody up and there's not much space
right.
to move.
Right, it's not a real wide track.
So I think that plays a key in it if you have that. And there's not many big wrecks like that happen in the corners because they're so big and so wide, but in the straightaways they're not. So, you know, last year in the fall, Jimmy Johnson had a $5 part that went bad and put him out of the chase. This year, Cat couldn't get it into third gear. All right, and not being able to get into third gear when people are behind you wanting to go.
Yeah, that's absolute. When you're, you know, it would be something if he was 20th, you know, when that happens. But when you're leading the field, and you know, and Jimmy talked about it after the accident, said he's been driving for a long time. He said once, I think he said backing out of the garage, it got stuck. He couldn't get it into reverse or something like that, and said this is the only other time since he's driven a car that something like this has happened, and to have it happen at the restart when you're leading the field, you know, and this was not typical Jimmy Johnson Dover. That's a whole other topic we'll get to here in a few minutes, talk about Hendrick. But, you know, they had made some changes, you know, took a gamble with two tires, got themselves out front, and then you talk about backing up a field. I mean, he backed up a field. And it was carnage. I mean, it was as bad as anything you'll see at Daytona or Talladega.
And it's not like you're sitting at a red light, you know, and somebody just is late in going, and you take the time, and you know that they're stopped and they're not going anywhere because you see their brake lights. These guys have no brake lights. So when you're Martin Truex, and if you watch the race and you wonder why in the world Martin Truex was basically lifting Jimmy's car off the ground, is because those guys behind you are not using their brakes.
No.
They are gas, clutch, go. And so, you know, that's what caused the whole thing. And then it being so narrow, it took a lot of cars out. Jason had texted us, you know, at the beginning of the race or whatever and said it looked like it was going to be a blooming Monday. And you got to think of how many cars. There's three or four cars there that could have easily won that race.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, the two cars lined up directly behind Jimmy Johnson were Martin Truex and Kevin Harvick. You know, Harvick dominated the first 100 laps of the race. I'm thinking, man, this, and I even text this guys this to you. You know, this thing has a snooze factor of 9 out of 10 happening because it's
Harvick. Which is brought to you by Mermaid Mattress.
Yeah.
By the way.
Because Harvick is going to win, you know, he's going to lead 350 laps and just dominate this thing. But the race really, after that, you know, after about the 100 lap mark, it just went crazy. It was just wild. You know, Truex had a point in time where he was the dominant car, and then things just got a little, it was just different. I've never seen a Dover race kind of like that. It didn't feel like a Dover race, but I guess because there was so many things that happened. Usually it's one of those green flag run tracks where clean air matters, but you know, the stuff that makes NASCAR boring, you know, that's why the snooze factor usually I was looking forward to, you know, getting caught up on a little bit of sleep I'd lost from the previous week. And I couldn't do it because, you know, once that thing got rolling, there was, you know, a bunch of accidents, a bunch of things happened. Tire strategy, you know, the amount of rubber they were laying on the track, all that just played a role. And then to have it all wadded up like that, and then it made for a really wild ending because none of the top guys that were, the names we've been talking about for the most part this year were around to have an opportunity to win.
It almost looked like a Saturday night shootout at the dirt track in the late model series with, you know, you had 15, 20 cars on the track, and that was it towards the end. So,
In the broadcast, Jamie, I think it was they said like 33 of the 40 cars that ran had some sort of damage to it. I mean, that's like I know it's the mile, it's a mile track, so it's not a super speedway, but it's usually we don't see the kind of carnage at that track like that. And it was just like Talladega a few weeks ago. I don't know if this week had as much stupid factor as Talladega did, but it was just there was a lot of unusual things that took place Sunday in Dover.
And we actually had a Martinsville Modified come back out on the track.
Yeah. You know, Logano out there trying to make some laps out there.
I think even Gordon said, what does he have to gain by going out there?
I mean, what are you going to gain, a point?
Now,
granted.
Spoiler, and that was in the front.
Logano doesn't have a win yet. So, I mean, at this point, you still have to points race. If they're, you know, if they've got a win or two, they probably parked that thing and go to the house. I mean, Kyle Busch wouldn't. They weren't working on trying to get that thing back out there. Once he wrecked, he was like, man, I got three wins. We're going. I'm headed back to North Carolina.
On the plane. It's Brexton's birthday this week. We're getting that thing started early. You know, when Trevor Bayne finishes in the top 10, there's not many cars left. And that's
what you got to do is look at your top five. You know, Kenseth Twins, Larson, Chase Elliott, Casey Kane, Kurt Busch. All those guys, I mean, they're looking for wins.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get all the way down to sixth place with Brad Keselowski and Denny Hamlin at seventh. They both have wins, but then you got Blaney. You know, Truex rebounded pretty well. To get back out there, but I mean that car was. I mean they had. I mean it was duct tape and oh, they put a whole new front on it. It looked like. I mean it was just one thing after another. Clint Bowyer finished 12th. Danica Patrick 13th.
What?
I mean look at the list.
She actually probably got her first post race interview in a while.
I mean it was unusual. It was unusual. You don't usually see. Even at the big, you know, even at Talladega and Daytona, they have the big one. Usually the stuff happens, you know, five, six, seven cars back, and then they wad up a bunch of those cars that are in the middle. And the guys that have been out front all day usually find a way to avoid that.
But
when it happens at the very front at that track that's so narrow in the straightaways, there's just nowhere to go, and you just take out 8 or 10 of the best cars. It was just very unusual.
And to my point. Only 14 cars finished on the lead lap.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something there when you have a race at Dover when you've got 14 cars. That means you either got somebody really fast up front or you've had a lot of issues all day. So that's kind of that. All right. Exciting when we come back. We've got our friend Alex Hayden from MRN Radio that's going to be joining us. He was there calling the action from the pits. And we'll catch up with Alex on the other side of the break when we get back. You're listening to The Finish Line powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage. 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
NMLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie, Kyle, Scott Webb. We're running shorthanded today, but doing just fine.
Hey, listen. Sometimes you got to play shorthanded and suck it up.
Exactly right. And sometimes you have a lot of things to talk about.
And then when you're shorthanded, you go out and you hire a free agent. We got a big gun on the line.
We do. I had to get with Alex Hayden's agent to find out if we could get him for today. I mean, because he is such a high-priced commodity to get him on the air. Alex Hayden with MRN, you know, you have saved the day for me and Scott because we're running shorthanded today. We got one saying he's working on a beach somewhere. I really don't know what kind of job he has. And I know in the banking world, we can't do that. We get in trouble.
Here we go.
Alex Hayden, glad to have you join us. How are you doing today?
Alex, are you there?
Yes.
What are you doing? Shopping for shoes? Is that what you're doing, Alex?
I wish. No, just kind of hanging out, doing some last-minute things before we take off and head over to Charlotte in the morning. So, yeah, it's pretty quiet this evening.
All right, so speaking of
can't remember the
quiet, it wasn't quiet last Sunday at Dover. It was quite interesting to have the 18-car pileup that you expect to have at Talladega happen at Dover, Delaware.
Can't remember the last
it's
time.
It's amazing that happened. It's definitely something that was not expected to happen at Dover.
Well, yeah, and it was a complete accident. It's not like somebody made a mistake. Jimmy Johnson coming up through the gears on the front row on a restart. The car got stuck in neutral, couldn't get it into third gear, couldn't get it back down to second. And, of course, when you're not coming up to speed and the rest of the field is, it's a recipe for disaster, and it was a heck of a pile down there. But you don't normally see that too often, especially on a mile racetrack like a Dover. But it happened, took out an awful lot of good race cars, and certainly changed the complexion of the race, no question.
Definitely, and it was great to get a win for Matt Kenseth. Scott and I were talking about earlier that, you know, it seems like Martin Truex has now turned into the Matt Kenseth of 2016 with several good cars and stuff like that, and then just not being able to have the luck, whether it be his crew or whether it be something that happens to him on the track. Great cars, Alex, you know, great runs, just can't put it together.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy, too, the Matt Kenseth. Well, he's taken over the Matt Kenseth role. But, you know, just like Kenseth, though, Truex is putting himself in position. He's running at the front of the field an awful lot. So that's a good thing. I mean, he's got that part of the equation down, and that's exactly what Kenseth was able to do, too. He's able to stay at the front of the field for the better part of every single race out there and was able to finally put it together and get the victory lane. So it was nice to see Lady Luck finally smile on Matt Kenseth, and I think it's Truex's turn for that.
We are talking to MRN's Alex Hayden. Alex, it's hard to go to Dover and not expect Jimmy Johnson to be up front, but Hendrick as an organization, I know that Chase and Casey had good finishes at the end, but they're really kind of struggling. You know, listening to Dale Earnhardt talk, you could hear that there's some frustration mounting within the organization. The cars don't have the speed that they're really accustomed to. You know, what's up with Hendrick?
Well, Rick Hendrick's always a class act, and Hendrick Motorsports has been a dominant team. But at this point, and the way things are going, Joe Gibbs Racing's taken over that title. I think a lot of it's got to do with the new rules package that NASCAR implemented this year with the low downforce across the board for all the cars. I think the Gibbs guys really did their homework and found something before everybody else did, and that includes Hendrick Motorsports. They're obviously behind just a bit, and Dale Jr. was very animated about what's going on and says we are a team. He believes in his guys believe in him, but as a whole, as an organization, Hendrick Motorsports is getting beat and getting beat bad, and they need to step it up, and it's time to look in the mirror and dig down deep and figure out what the problem is and get it fixed. So I just think it's a matter right now of Gibbs has found it, and the Toyotas in general. As Truex is affiliated with the Gibbs team, They found something extra there, and they found the way to make their cars go fastest with the current rules package, and everybody else is simply trying to play catch up.
Right, and this this sport is very cyclical. I mean, it was, you know, a year ago at the beginning of the year, the Toyotas really struggled to start off the year, and then they kind of took off. Sometimes people just get caught up in what's happened over the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 races, but eventually you have to figure that Hendrick is going to figure it out. There's just too many smart people work there for them to continue to struggle for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, no question. And when you stop and look at it, Jimmy Johnson has won already this year. I mean, when you look at it across the board, as a whole, Hendrick Motorsports, it's tough to say they're struggling. Believe me, they're running well. They're just not quite as good as the Gibbs car. So by definition of Hendrick Motorsports, they're struggling. If they're not the dominant team, and that's the standard that they hold each other to as a race team. So, and as an organization. So I agree. I think everything goes in cycles. And I think that at this point in time, and I'm not going to write the whole season off by any stretch of the imagination. That's not what I'm saying. But where we're at right now, Gibbs has the advantage. They've got it figured out. And everybody else is playing catch up. I will tell you though, starting this weekend, and this is the All-Star race. There's no points on the line, no chase berth for the winner, simply a big trophy and a bigger check for the winner. NASCAR is implementing a series of rule changes starting just this weekend, and they're going to see how it affects the race cars. It's almost like it's a test session for NASCAR and these rules, too. And part of that is they're eliminating the fans that these teams have. They have electrical fans up underneath the bodies of these race cars, and I'm going to use the finger quotes here, and I know that doesn't really play on radio, but I'm using the finger quotes, so use your imagination. New shoes and finger quotes. Play that in your mind. We got that going on. So the finger quotes, what I'm saying is this has become a test session. These fans are supposed to remove the air and blow it down on the tires to keep the tires from overheating. That's the finger quote part. What, in actuality, what I'm hearing in the garage by a lot of these smart engineers and race team members is the Gibbs people have figured out a way to manipulate that and use these fans to eliminate air from the inside of the race car, the cockpit of the race car. And I'm not an aerodynamicist by any stretch of the imagination, but when you remove air out and blow it out of a certain hole of the chassis into a certain part and release that air, it creates downforce. That's what it was explained to me in layman's terms, because I'm a layman here. and that's the advantage that the goods cars have. Well, this weekend for the All-Star race, you're not allowed to have those fans. That's one thing. The other thing, too, is you've seen it with the Penske cars, and matter of fact, all the cars. If you look at a camera angle on TV as the cars are coming at you down a straightaway, it almost looks like the back end of the car is kicked out a little bit. And even though it's going straight, it looks like it's going at an angle. Well, it's because it is. The rear end has been askew. Well, starting this weekend, as a rule, the teams have to weld those trailing arms so they cannot be kicked out. They also have no toe-in on the rear wheels, which means they have to go directly straight instead of setting the toe just a little bit in, where the actual rear wheels are set basically pointing towards the inside at a fraction, and that enables the tires to grip better in the turns, and you go faster through the corners. Those are three different things NASCAR is implementing for this All-Star race this weekend, and we'll see how this plays. If all the cars are basically running same speeds, meaning if the Hendrick cars are beating the Gibbs cars in practice and in the race, then you'll know we found what the Gibbs cars have been doing. Because this garage area, the Sprint Cup Series garage, as smart as these guys are, they're a bunch of babies, too. They are some tattletailing fools in there. And if I'm getting beat, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to squawk the loudest and I'm going to tell on them and what they're doing. So somebody's told on the Gibbs cars what they're doing. And now suddenly here are three rule changes for the All-Star race to see what happens. Now, with all that being said, if the Gibbs cars go out and absolutely wear them out again this weekend, then we found out that they've been barking up the wrong tree, and it was all for naught.
Well, I didn't really know that NASCAR had a rule book because I've never seen it, so I didn't know that there would be adjustments in that. But
yeah, it's written in pencil.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
That is,
do you
that
have
is
to have a decoder ring for that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to you drink your Ovaltine and get your decoder ring.
You're sounding smarter and smarter all the time, Alex. I mean, you know, you said you were layman, but when you go air quotes and start pronouncing big words, that kind of gets me there. All right, a couple of things, and kind of going with that, I mean, I've watched NASCAR racing for a long time, and being at the ripe old age of 38 years old, you know, I saw a lot and remember a lot of when the Fords would dominate with Bill Elliott, and then the Chevrolets, I guess they had the slope back windows that they got out of a lot of complaining that they did. But it seemed like it used to be where if somebody was mad because, you know, the other manufacturer was faster, they would make a rule change there. So it's kind of going back old school where you get enough whining about something and you actually get it changed. So really cool on the part of NASCAR.
And to that point, just a few short weeks ago, we were all talking about lug nuts. Who would ever thought lug nuts would be the topic of conversation? But Tony Stewart was the one who manipulated all of that conversation, saying it was a safety issue. Tony's a savvy guy. He knew if he went to the media and got the fans squawking about it when he throws the word safety around, that NASCAR would have to react. Well, now all of a sudden you have to put and tighten down all five lug nuts on the wheels. We saw Kyle Busch's crew chief Adam Stevens get suspended because one of their lug nuts was loose. Well, here's the thing about it. To your point about back in the day, well, Tony Stewart is the one that initiated all this talk about these lug nuts. Hence, NASCAR was back in the corner. They had to make the rule. Well, there's this company called Darkfish, and it sounds weird, but this company, they have a lot of people at every single racetrack, and they have nothing but data. Non-stop data, and part of their data is pit stops, how much time these cars spend on pit road during a race, and they rank them 1 through 40, all 40 teams. Well, when Tony Stewart made his comment in the media, the 14 car itself was 20th in pit stops. So to your point, when you're getting beat, you got to come up with a rally and say, here's why I'm getting beat, let's change that rule. Well, NASCAR, if you fast forward, change the rule, and if you go up to Dover this past weekend, Kevin Harvick, who drives for Tony Stewart, they got beat on pit road every single time. They were giving up 2 to 3 spots every single pit stop. So even though Tony, who was 20th on the 14 car,
made this rule change, or made NASCAR make this rule change, they're still getting waxed on pit road. So, to your point about old school racing, sometimes it works and sometimes it bites you in the keister.
Alex, we've had discussion. We actually talked about this last time we had you on the show. The All-Star Race, you know, is what can be done? Can it be fixed? What's the overwhelming majority of thought on what's best for the All-Star Race?
Well, that's a great question, because NASCAR is such a different sport compared to stick and ball sports, where their All-Star events take the best players and put them on the same team. Well, in racing, we just can't do that. We can't have Jimmie Johnson driving the 20 car of Kenseth and then have Adam Stevens, Kyle Busch's crew chief, he goes over to crew chief Dale Jr. You just can't do that. Because these teams are independent contract race teams with the sanctioning body, NASCAR. And to me, sadly, the All-Star Race has become a glorified test session. I just told you about three rules that NASCAR is doing this weekend alone to see if it works. It's an experiment by NASCAR for the rules. They're not even really jumping on board and putting this as a major event when they do something like this. The teams publicly say, I'm using this as a test session to get ready for the Coke 600 next week at the same track, and where it actually pays points, and it also gets a win, gets you in the chase. So, I don't know. I don't know how you fix it, because the way NASCAR is, we don't have home games like any other given sport has a home team where half of their schedule is at one stadium. They don't have home games in NASCAR. So you actually have the 40 best stock car drivers in the world, which to me is an all-star event, every single weekend on a different racetrack. Where if this weekend, we only have 15 drivers qualified by the criteria set to be in the all-star race. And then through the sprint showdown Friday night, we're going to take three more drivers. Then we're going to have the fan vote. So we're going to have about 20 drivers in the all-star race itself. So, to me, it's become kind of a gimmick as opposed to what it's supposed to be. I don't know how to fix it. I really don't. I never see this going away, because it's a moneymaker, and sports is business. Let's not lose sight of that. Professionals, so even college sports, the NCAA is all about business.
Oh, yeah.
So you're never going to lose the All-Star Race, because that's money falling out of people's pockets. But so how do you fix it? How do you make it more entertaining? To me, you put it on a short track someplace.
That's where I'm at, Alex. I don't know why, you know, even in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, you're always switching stadiums every time. And to really kind of throw some of these tracks that don't get a lot of attendance, don't get a lot of, you know, say in Atlanta or something like that, throw them a bone and throw the All-Star Race at one of those tracks. And you might go Bristol, Martinsville. You know, Martinsville under the lights would be really cool for an All-Star Race, but, you know, throw some of the short tracks, or even take it, you know, we had an idea we came up with in here on a show one day, that you might go find a North Wilkesboro or an older track that they used to run, you know, help out that community, help out that track by putting something like that on there, and it's a place that nobody has raced on, so it's kind of fair game for all your All-Stars.
Yeah, I like it. I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, I like all the ideas, because there's a lot of them out there on what you need to do. The problem is, and the solution all at the same time, the problem is everybody has a solution, which tells you it's a race. Now, the good part of that is everybody has a solution. So there's a lot of good ideas out there already. So what's the right one? What will racetracks want to do? I don't know. If you try to take it away from Charlotte Motor Speedway, you're going to hear Bruton Smith stand up, start pounding the desk and say, absolutely not, because they're going to lose the money out of that deal. So I don't know how this is going to play out, if it will ever change. We do know that this is the last year with Sprint being in our sport and them the title sponsor of the Sprint All-Star Race. Maybe this is an opportunity to change things up. I don't know. But if you're going to do it, it's high time, because it's just become too big of a test session.
I'm calling Tony Stewart. I'm going to get him to go to the media. We'll get it fixed in a couple of weeks. We'll be.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
We'll be good to go with that. Hey, one last thing before we let you go, because I know you're busy. I've got to ask you about, if you need us to, we'll work out some sort of deal with an airline to get you to where you don't have to, you know, stay late and have to wait and everything else. It seems like you're always waiting to go somewhere at the airport.
Yeah, sadly, half my life has lived in airports, rental cars, hotels, restaurants. That's just part of the deal. So I like it. If you guys can put together a deal there, I'll certainly give you a cut out of that. I don't know how we can make that happen, but I'd love to.
Oh, that'd be great. Alex, man, we always appreciate your time and your insight. And man, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I've tried now to listen to a lot of the races on the radio just so I can hear you guys, because I think you're a little better than Jeff Gordon and those other two clowns up there. So we'll go with that. So, Alex, safe travels this week, and we'll look forward to hearing you on Saturday night.
Thank you guys so much, as always, for having me on the show. Keep up the great work.
All right.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, see you guys. That's Alex Hayden with MRN. Always, as you can listen to him on 101.3 The Buzz. That is a great thing. Does an outstanding job. As you hear his voice on the radio with us, that's exactly how he portrays it in the
It does
the
a great job.
Area,
it does a great job.
Which brings a lot of excitement. So we need to take a break. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, hanging out
fumbling,
today.
Bumbling, stumbling around here today.
But we're getting there. We'll be to the goal line here in about 7 minutes, baby?
I was just telling you off the air. You know, it's not like I haven't done this show before. I feel like I'm a rookie back here. Just pushing buttons and hoping something good happens.
Oh, man. You have those days, though. That's the good thing. So, thanks, Alex Hayden, for coming on. Great information,
yeah.
You know. I really love the fact of...
Listen, you know, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
The stuff... I didn't know they were changing rules. And we follow the sport.
Right.
And I didn't know they were... You know, so good stuff from Alex Hayden this
week. Is the great thing about people on radio and people that do this for a living, like Alex Hayden, who does the pit reporting. Great information. He's down there each and every week. You are crazy if you don't listen to MRN Radio and their broadcast of the race. Really informative.
Right,
really
here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz.
Easy enough right there. All you got to do is tune into your favorite Cleveland sports station at 101.3 The Buzz.
I will plug MRN. They do have an app, so you can download the app and listen directly off the app, too.
Right.
But we would prefer you listen right here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz.
And if you want to join him early, I mean, usually before the race, about an hour before the race, he's in on the pre-race show.
Yeah.
They've got
They do a great job. Listen, I could listen. I could listen to Eli Gold call a race every single week.
Yeah. And when Barney Hall was there, Barney Hall was great too. Nothing like
just listen. They're just great. It's just
nothing like a Saturday night race with the window down, driving home, listening to MRN.
Well, I mean, there's
fond memories.
It's not bad.
So that's good. All right, we need to get to the Chase Grid. The Chase Grid is always brought to you by College Press, taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to. www.cplitho.com or Google them, College Press in Collegedale. Scott Webb.
Kevin Harvick remains your leader, sitting on top of the point standing. He's 21 points ahead of Kyle Busch, who does have 3 wins, though. So remember, when the chase, we'll start looking at grid, at the chase grid a little bit more. Once we hit the after the Daytona race, we'll start previewing that a little bit more, because wins matter when we get to that point. But Kyle Busch is in second. Kurt Busch all the way up to third. He's 32 points back. Carl Edwards, fourth. Jimmy Johnson, fifth. Brad Keselowski, sixth. Chase Elliott, all the way up to 7th. Joey Logano, 8th. Martin Truex Jr., 9th. Austin Dillon, 10. The 88 cars in 11th. If you listen, I haven't mentioned it yet this week, but if you listen to the download this week, the Dale Jr. download, he was as upset and as frustrated as I've heard him in a long time. A long time this week. So look, hopefully they can get things turned around there with the 88 team. He's sitting in 11th. Matt Kenseth, 12th. Denny Hamlin, 13th. Jamie McMurray, 14th. Ryan Blaney, 15th. And because of a penalty today, Casey Kane was in the 16th spot, but he now switches to 17th. A.J. Allmendinger jumps him. He's in the 16th spot. So if the chase was to start today, Casey Kane would not be in it. That could that's not the news you want to hear.
Especially with if you're driving rumor the rumor mill that has been going around
it's
on
been
Twitter.
Pretty rampant. You know, Harvick is completely denying that he's going to Hendrick to drive a Chevy, but there's a lot of buzz out there.
And especially,
Things that make you go, hmm.
Yeah, being Casey Kane's contract year, supposedly, but I thought he had signed last year.
Things that make you go, hmm.
So, all right, that Chase Grid brought to you by College Press, CPLITHO.com. They do your printing and take care of your printing needs so you don't have to. All right. We need, you know, we normally probably wouldn't do this, but since, you know, power rankings are a big part of the show, we have done it for the All-Star race. So at least that's how I did mine. I think everybody else kind of did the same thing. Yeah.
Travis Godfrey said if you put him in the 5 car, he'd take that thing to the front.
Well, I mean, if he drives as well as he handles, you know, shirts and embroidery and all that stuff, he'd be okay.
Yeah. That's quality stuff. I'm dropping my phone. I'm just, listen.
If Travis Godfrey wants to come in and run the board,
there's absolutely no doubt that he can do a better job of it than I'm doing today. It's been an absolute struggle today. I don't have any idea what I'm doing.
Speaking of struggle, let's go through some of these power rankings. All right, so Hildebrand has got the 18, the 4, the 19, the 48, and the 2 in his pick to win the All-Star race. His pick to win the All-Star race is a guy that he's assuming is going to get in on the fan vote and going to win the race. Matt DiBenedetto. I mean, he's going DiBurrito. That's where he's going with that. So Matt DiBenedetto is Jason's pick to win the race. I'm going to catch crap for that after we get off the air.
Yes,
but
I'm sure you will.
Yeah, he'll be in the...
That's the way to knock a man while he's down.
He'll be in the 83 car, zooming around the track, outside on a go-kart track somewhere in Charlotte. All right, and then Arnold, of course, who's sitting down at some beach somewhere, has got the 18-19. Looks like he copied yours. Go on, no, he didn't, Scott. 18-19-4.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
41. He has entered the 24 car back in his power rankings. His pick to win is, let's see, who did he pick this week? I mean, what's he thinking? He puts a driver down and thinks we're going to actually read that? Go to the bottom of our list there.
Let's pick this somebody. Is why people in power don't get along with you when it comes to power rankings. You're just making stuff up now.
All right, his pick to win, Arnold's pick to win is number 32, Jeffrey Earnhardt, who he's thinking will get in on the. I think he got the wrong Earnhardt. Maybe that's the problem. He also picked Brad Keselowski. All right, mine is 18-4, 78-20, and 41. My pick to win, Kyle Busch. But well, with
you,
what?
You went out on a limb on that one, didn't you?
I'm telling you. With what I was just told by Alex Hayden, though, and the new rules thing.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, maybe I'll still go with the 18 until he proves me wrong.
It's not a terrible pick.
What you got?
Mine pretty much, not a lot of change. I did move the 18 still on top of mine, 19 Carl Edwards, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, I did move the 78 in, although he does not have a win, and I bumped the 48 out. It's a little struggle at Hendricks right now. I don't know what's going on, and I went out on a big limb too and picked Carl Edwards. Listen, second time this year I picked the winner.
Yeah.
So, congratulations to me. And
you want some music for that?
Yeah. And I refuse to pick anybody not driving a Toyota until somebody else wins.
It's funny, we didn't talk about this today, but Toyota again, how much further are the other manufacturers behind them? I guess a good safe bet to pick is somebody out of the Gibbs camp, or the 78 each week.
Right, which is essentially the fifth Gibbs car. So, why wouldn't you? I mean, it's just been...
a blind squirrel finds it's because, once in a while.
Well, I mean, that's... I mean, look at the race wins by the non-Gibbs teams. I mean, how many of those races, maybe Las Vegas when Keselowski won... when he ran down Kyle Busch.
But really,
how many of those races were not? Jimmy Johnson had a good run at Atlanta and he didn't win. But how many of those races was not? All four of those Gibbs cars are five if you count Truex. Up near the front, they've just got something going on. Now it'd be interesting to see this weekend if what Alex was talking about really does change it. I mean, if things get a little racier this weekend. Could be one of those things that could be a big, big change, big momentum for these other teams.
Maybe. If you remember during the Talladega race when Jeff Gordon made the point when they were showing the replay of Matt Kenseth upside down.
Yeah, he was like, I bet there's a whole lot of people snapping pictures of that.
Yeah, that might have been where that might have been found. So that was good. All right, great show today, Webb. We handled it by ourselves.
Listen, today was about survival.
And we did that. Scott's got graduation over with now. It's easy rolling to the finish line. So, speaking of the finish line, you just listened to another edition of it. We really appreciate it. Afterwards, we've got Fast Talk.
Yes, and if I was doing my job correctly, I would know that it's Jeff Hammond is in studio with Doug Rice, and they talk with Matt Kenseth and Eric Jones and Bubba Wallace. So, a lot of drivers, Bubba Wallace.
All right. We appreciate you listening to the finish line. Powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.